that down to the last one, remember one thing. As long as you're alive, they're going to tell you become Christians. And as long as you're alive, you are going to quote the pasuk that says that Hashem ha'emironu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to us that we will never be changed for any other nation. Ani ma'amin be'emunah shlema shezos ha'torah lo tehei muchalefes, that the Rabbono Shel Olam is never going to change the Torah, not for a New Testament, not for an Old Testament. There's only one Torah and that's it. And finished. So at very least, we have the historical overtones of this period by the quote of this pasuk, because the other psukim, the other six psukim, have no Christological references whatsoever. It could be applied to any kind of tyranny, any kind of avodah zarah, not this last pasuk with the youngest child. And it's probably the most dynamic pasuk of them all, because it offers there a conversation that the child gives, you know, a whole explanation of why. That we will never change him for any other god, even if the god is only a partner, god and son. No other god, no two ways about it. And the hu nishba ve'af hu nishba, in the middle of line 24, he swore to us that we will never be switched for another nation. When the Caesar heard this, he said to the youngest one, listen to me, I'll throw down my signet, my ring, my seal, which has an image of me on it. V'gochin, you will bend down v'shaklei, and just pick it up. If you just do that for me, ki heche delemru, so that the people around will be able to say that kabil alei hamino demalka, that you accepted the yoke of authority of this king, I will be satisfied and I won't kill you. Just pick it up. Let the rest of them think that this was your bowing down, and I will be satisfied. I know that there's no hope, there's no sense. I will just have to kill you. Spare your own life. Amarle, said the youngest to the Caesar, to the Caesar, Chaval aloch Caesar, I pity you, my dear Caesar. Chaval aloch Caesar, I have pity for you. Listen to what you just said. Al kvod atzmecho kach, if for your honor you were ready to create such a deception, just so that people will see that you were honored and I bent down in front of you. Now look at it from my point. Al kvod HaKadosh Baruch Hu al haskama v'kama. Shouldn't I worry about the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the more, who is the immortal Melech Malchei Hamlochim? And I will not show this deception just for the kvod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af kuhu l'miktelei, they took him out to be killed. But as he was being led away, omro l'ho imei, his mother yelled out, Yahavuhu nihale, give him to me, v'inashke pulsa, and let me kiss him a little before he goes. Is Omralom, and she said to the kid, the youngest kid, Banai, my children in plural, I'm talking only to one, but all seven neshamas, you can hear me, lechu v'inru la'avram avichem, go and tell Avraham, our father, Ato okadito mizbeach echod, you brought one child to the mizbeach and he came out alive. Vani okadito shiva mizbechos, and I went ahead and I just brought seven korbanos on the akedah. Is afi also lagag? She went up onto the roof in a flow mesa, and she committed suicide. Is yotzisah baskol v'omra? And here is the conversion of suicide to a mitzvah. Eim habonim smecha haleluka. This is a mother who is fortunate and who is happy to be able to bring seven akedos. And this is the conversion. This is the point. We learn the Gemara and we don't begin to understand what it's all about until you investigate it in its conceptual manner as to what these Jews had to sustain, and we have no idea at all what it's all about. It derives its nuclear energy from the Akedah, wanting to join the club of the Akedah, and indeed joining that club, and having to take suicide and convert it into from an Avera into a mitzvah, so as not to be tortured. But it's even deeper than that. It is the positive aspect that I stand in loco Avraham, in the place of Avram Avinu. It wasn't the pain that Avram was worried about, and indeed he sustained no physical pain other than the 3 days that he had to go and he had to worry. It was deeper, being able to have the Rabboni Shel Olam call out to Avram, Ato Yodati, now I know something. Ki Yirei Elokim Ato, that you are the model to be able to go ahead and sacrifice yourself. And yourself means as Bincho, your child, Yechidcho, your only one, Asher Ahavta, that you love, Ahavas Movas, that you're ready to die for him. And you're ready to go ahead as you want. You're ready to go ahead and as you understood, and take that child and sacrifice him. Go, my children, and tell Avraham Avinu, you only did it once, and I did it 7 times. You only did it in potential, and I did it in fact. Join his club. And she went ahead and then she committed suicide. There's absolutely no way in the world to be able to understand the full meaning of this Akedah. Absolutely not. And again, I say, as time went on, only in the name of the Prince of Peace. Skip to the last line on the page. I'm not denying you of anything. It's just other kinds of perushim on the pasuk, which aren't focused on our subject. The pasuk is the issue, not the subject. I want to stay on the subject. In the middle of the line, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chono, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Alba'im Se'ah, 40 bushels worth, a Se'ah is a measure, of Kitzutzei Tfilim, of the Kitzutzei Tfilim of the Bayis, the leather boxes, page 13, I'm sorry, forgive me. Go from 11 to 13, there was a misprint over there. 12 shouldn't exist. Bushels of kitzutzei tefillin, of the batim of tefillin, were found, nimtzu berashei harugei beitar, of all those who were killed in beitar with their tefillin on. And Rabbi Yishmael said, no, shalosh kupos, 3 baskets worth, shal alba'im alba'im sa'ah, each one of 40 sa'ah, you had of tefillin. B'masnisin tono, in B'masnisa, in a brisa we learned, halba'im kupos shel shalosh shalosh. We found 40 baskets of shalosh shalosh, of 3 sa'ah each. How many tefillin were found really is of little relevance. Velo plige, and if you want to push me to the wall, says the Gemara, the first source and the second source, how much there actually were. So he says, I can figure out ho de reisha, ho de dar'o. We're talking about not only tefillin shalosh, one is talking about tefillin shalosh, the other one is talking about tefillin shalyad. It seems as if in those days they made a tefillin shel rosh much bigger than the tefillin shel yad, because in the rosh you had to put in 4 compartments, and each compartment took much more space. They did not have the technical abilities to make tefillin the way we do today. Never in the history of Yiddishkeit have we had such elegant tefillin as we have now, simply by virtue of the fact of workmanship and the ability to not the human factor. And because if anything, the human factor is lowest today when it comes to workmanship. But the technical ability to be able to make a tefillin shel rosh today exists in such a manner above and beyond whatever existed before, that is just staggering. In olden times, because the Tefillin Sharosh needed four compartments in it, so they obviously made it much bigger to be able to allow for the compartments to be filled. And the Tefillin Shayad, which was all on one roll, was a smaller one. So here, depending on how many bushels they had, Tefillin Shayad and Tefillin Sharosh was separate. All almost sophistry. Useless logic, you know why? Because the point is not to know how many tefillin they were, but the point is to create a metaphor, a symbolic way of understanding how many Jews decided in Beitar to commit suicide with tefillin on the head. Simple as that. They all did. There's one big question which probably will never resolve. Beitar was destroyed in the year 73. Who said so? That's Masada.
Excuse me.
Stop. You're right. I'll never get it straight. Last year I did the same. What about Masada? There was a mass suicide pact over there. Why doesn't the Gemara invoke Masada here? You will nowhere find Masada. For some strange reason. We don't know why. But Harugei Beitar, which as a result of the, you know, was a result of the Churban, and this we find.
The scale. What is the scale? And they both serve to prove the same point, but the scale of Beitar was, you know, thousands of times the scale of Masada. And second of all, Masada may have been. Masada was the troublemakers from Yerushalayim, and they may have felt some not wishing to dwell on it. Where from Beitar they were tzaddikim.
You know, you create a very big problem for me. Because I, as one, am not ready to say, and when politics, when push comes to shove with politics, what you call the troublemakers, when it's all over, when they finally go ahead and they're done in, that we continue to maintain that politics. You know, when you have two political protagonists, when one is out of the arena, so they're friends again. I'm finished.
We never made.
If you're saying we never made peace with that.
We never made Bakhti scripture.
That's a rough one. I thought Jews were above that. Especially Chazal.
They never made Maccabee scripture. Why not?
That could have been for political expediency. Okay? Or, the Book of Maccabees tells of all the wars. That's not the issue. That wasn't an issue. War is nothing that you have to put into scripture. It's the lessons of war that you have to learn. Nope. Those lessons couldn't be learned because scripture was canonized a lot earlier. Maybe if 200 years or more passed, or 500 years passed, and then they canonized the Torah Shebichtav, then maybe that could have been a possibility. But just military forays, as brilliant as they are, you don't have to put them into scripture. You can say hollow, then say. That's okay, you can say hollow, but I don't have to put it in together with Iyov, and I don't have to put it in together with Yeshayahu, etc. and so forth. The conquests of Dor HaMidbar and Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to know more about it? Halohein ksuvim al sefer divrei hayomim. Go to extraordinary kinds of books. We have special books, chronicles, you know, as you know, sefer milchamos Hashem. I don't have to put it in the Torah. The Torah is not for that. It's a big problem. It definitely is a big problem that doesn't have a direct answer to it. No, that's you're putting the cart before the horse. after Beitar fell, and the result of... No, wait a minute. That's it. After its cause and effect, what caused the putting in of a separate bracha into the benching was the effect of Beitar. Because when Beitar fell, and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva was gone, our Kochba revolution was gone, then they started to reevaluate. Maybe there's no hope, and maybe we ought to just toss the towel in. That's when Chazal said, came and said, what are you, crazy? Even in this Shoah, who hated in the past, who mated right now, who yated Lonu, you're going to see it. And if anything, you want to be true to Rabbi Akiva. Remember Rabbi Akiva walking in the Beis HaMikdash with his friends? And they saw Shualim Hilchuba. There were foxes running around. The others cried and he laughed. What was his laughter for? Because if there are foxes, then I know for sure the end of the Nevi'ah will... The end of the Nevi'ah. See, the prophetic goal is that it's going to be Beis Yiboneh. If this is true, then the other part has got to be true. You want to say you've got to throw it in? If anything, you've got to be optimistic. So when they put the bracha in, that was a zecher to Rabbi Akiva, not the others. Who hated, who mated, and who yated lonu in the future. Who gimalonu in the past, who gomlenu now as bad as it is, and it's going to be better in the future. This, by the way, this attitude is a halacha. A halacha that you must observe during kinos. So not, last night, you say echa, but there's one pasuk at the end, there's one segment at the end. The halacha is that you cannot say it in the moan, in the droning tones of Echa. You've got to say it b'kol simcha. Anyone who hears that you say it differently. Like you're saying Ata Reisan Simchas Torah. Triumphant. And the same thing here. The halacha is that you do not end with kinos. You end with the kol zimra. Sosom the simcha yimatze bo. That without question it's going to change. If we sustain the Churban, and that was Binavua, we're going to sustain the Geula and be redeemed. And you have to change the tune. The Nusach has to change. The only one who doesn't know that. And that Halacha derives from this Rabbi Akiva. And from all the way back, it's the same thing, the same formula which motivated the Bracha and Bracha Samaza.
That's my point. Sada doesn't seem to have
that's tough. Because Masada is only the end of the Churban in 70 to 73, right? We didn't come out with lessons that it would be rebuilt. 65 years later,
we
were ready. Don't see it in the halacha. I'm telling you that whenever you say Masada, you cannot think of Churban. You have to think of regeneration. And it was put into the benching again. I mean, where did Rabbi Akiva derive it? Hello, Rabbi Akiva saw the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
It was just part of something that we knew from before. It wasn't the paradigm. The story with Hana is a paradigm.
You see, what I am...
What did Masada teach us that we didn't know before this?
Well, Masada is the end of the Churban. What did it teach us? It taught us that even though we went down a second time, there's going to be a third time. It's going to be permanent.
Didn't we know that before?
Didn't we know it? Nope. We knew when the first would be destroyed that after 70 years there would be a second. We had assumed that that would be it. Because after all, to go through such a horror of Golus Bavel and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, what's there to talk about? We'll never again make the mistake. Never again. And indeed, we made it. It was a different melody. Instead of Avodah Zarah, it was, Frumkeit. Frumkeit brought us, did us in. That's the Sinas Chinam. It's a synonym. It's a Sinas Chinam for the Gematria Frumkeit.
That's what the Torah would be revealed for the seven.
Where? In Bayis Sheni, you no longer had Nevi'im. But with the destruction of the Bayis, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi is finished. It's over. We no longer have Nevi'im. Came the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, who saw it. Who saw Masada. He lived at that time. He was a young man. And the Chiddush was that, sure, we have no Nevi'im. Nonsense, we have no Nevi'im. We have the same Nevuah from the first one that's going to work. If the first one, it happened and it was destroyed and we rebuilt, that same Nevuah is operative the second time. That's powerful stuff. The Chiddush was that the Nevi'im were Mechadesh that it's going to be, and the Nevi'im in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chaya, Zechariah, and Malachi, said the same thing. You know, that there's going to be Bias HaMashiach, and then it will be permanent and finished. These concepts were very much a Chiddush for the day and the age. They were caught off guard entirely with the second Chiddush.
Why that day and age, but looking back at history? Obviously, when you live through something, you don't have a good perspective.
All right, I hear what you're saying. Well, let me say it differently. I am finding difficulty. And you're
now, obviously, the Gemara did it very specifically. They knew.
I hear what you're saying. But what I'm finding difficulty with is that Masada seemingly is separated from Ben Tam. And I see no separation. I see it as a second.
But they knew about it.
Yeah,
they could have put it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And if we hold the way you do long, that in Masada there were troublemakers, and troublemakers we don't deal with, because after all they are troublemakers, then I would like to convert to Christianity. I cannot accept that as Jews. I can't. I can understand politics. I can understand individuality. Yeah, you know, the Kamsa and Bar Kamsa stuff and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I can understand all of that. Right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's own nephew was the head of the troublemakers. And if you don't do it my way, I'll burn your house down, I swear to you. I'll kill you right in the streets. I can understand that. But once it's over, not to say Kaddish for them.
Maybe that there wasn't anything to learn. If there hadn't been Beitar, Masada may have been much more important. But to compare, just numerically compare Masada to Beitar, you've got a few hundred, if I remember right, in Masada, something like that. And you've got hundreds of thousands of Beitar. And if they serve the same, they prove the same lesson. There's no chiddush. There's not two chiddushim there. There's one chiddush. Okay.
I hear what you're saying.
You know, it's like you eat and eat, and you're not satisfied. I need some more. I don't know why. It's like.
I hear the question.
I don't have enough calories for
it. We only know Masada from Josephus, not from.
We know, again, we know it from Josephus. Why does the Gemara avoid?
I don't know. It's a question.
That's it. And your answers are answers in both of your cases, but it's like, you know, that annoying feeling that I didn't eat enough, that I don't have enough in what you say. I don't know. Maybe it's me. But let it stand as a question and we'll go on. On line 88, Omar Rav Asi had indicated Alba or Kabin Moach, four kav measures of Moach, 5 gallon, I don't know, kav may be 5, 10 gallons, I have no idea. Think of a 10 gallon container. Alba or Kabin Moach, 10 gallon containers, 4 times over, Nimtzu al Evan Achas, were placed on one stone. Ula, as in Beitar, I'll explain that in a minute. Ula said it wasn't four. Ula Omar Tishas Kabin, it was 9. Omar Kahana Vitemo Shela Balmori Maikra O. Now you will understand a posuk in this gory story. Bas Bovel Hashedudo, where in Tehillim it says, the daughter of Bovel Hashiduda, Ashrei Sheyishalem Lach, Shtuda means you are captive to sadism. Ashrei Sheyishalem Lach, one day someone is going to be happy that they're going to pay you back. Ashrei, fortunate will be those who will see Sheyechoz or Sheyochaz, when you will be held. And your children will be smashed, their heads will be smashed against the rock. And this is a retributive, a midah keneged midah kind of a statement, because one of the horrible things was, again, this mutilation, this sadistic thing, chop someone's head off and take and scoop out the brain, put all the brains into a container and see. It was intended specifically to take the enemy and lefachedotam, to root the enemy. You don't stand up against us or else I'll torture you to death. Not kill you, I will torture you to death. It's intended to knock the wind out of them. In modern times, two things happen. Hitler's chevra were known to do this to children. Among the 1.5 million children, they would round up in an aktion, in their action, they would bring all of the Jews together and take a little child, a baby, and pick it up and smile at it and cudgel it, and then all of a sudden go ahead in the face of mother and father and family, take it by the feet and smash its skull against the wall, and that's it, never to be heard of again. Not only then, but even later, the Syrians are known for their brutality. In the Golan War, found in a plastic bag, a garbage bag, were the tongues of either 12 or 24, I don't remember, 24 tongues to indicate that before they killed the Israelis in the Golani Brigade, before they shot them to pieces, they went ahead and they cut their tongue out, and not the reverse. First they did the cutting, and then they shot. And it was just a matter of intimidation is the word. To intimidate the enemy that when you get a hold of me, boy, not only will you be killed, but I am going to torture you till the end. And this is a pattern throughout. And you're talking about Golani. Golani is the Green Beret Brigade of the entire Israeli army, of the entire Tzal. If you are in Golani, you are the fiercest, meanest, best trained technician of war that exists in the world, because the Syrians are the only ones who possibly can stand up to you. They are the fiercest, biggest animals in the world. Let's go to 16. The famous Gemara at the end of Maseches Brachos, in the middle of the page, in the pasuk of Yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha v'chol miyadecha, Tosfos sees no need here to say anything, because Rabbi Akiva is saying that this torture that I am being subjected to is the torture of a kiyum hamitzvah. I'm able to be mekayim a mitzvah of b'chol nafshecha. V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, im ne'ma b'chol nafshecha, if it says, love Hashem with all of your life, with your nefesh, why is it necessary, lomo ne'emar b'chol miyodecha, with all your might, with all your power? V'im ne'emar b'chol miyodecha, if it says all of your power, whatever power is lomo ne'emar b'chol Nafshecha, why do you have to repeat and say with your entire soul? Ella, the reason for the repetition, says Rabbi Eliezer, is im yesh lecha adam shegufo chaviv alav. If a person cherishes his body most and more than mimono, more than his money, lekach ne'emar b'chol nafshecha, that you are required to go ahead and sacrifice even your soul for Ahavas Hashem. Im yesh lecha adam shemimono chaviv alav migufo. And if there are a person who loves, who cherishes his money more than his own body, is lekach ne'emar b'chol modecha. Therefore, with all your might, with all your power, with all your money, you shall worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva went ahead and gave a different parish. Omer b'chol nafshecha means afilu notel es nafshecha, even if it means sacrificing your life. Tonu Rabbonan, and this is what we learned in a brisa. Pam achas gozro malchus orsho'o. It was one time when the wicked kingdom decreed shelo ya'asku Yisrael b'Torah, that no Jew learned Torah, but Papus ben Yehuda. So Papus ben Yehuda came with mitzaol Rabbi Akiva shehaya makil kehilos rabos. That Rabbi Akiva was collecting and attracting droves of people, v'osek b'Torah, teaching them Torah. Is Omar lei Papus said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, I atom Yisrael mipnei malchus. Aren't you afraid of the Roman generals here? Amala, whereupon Rabbi Akiva answered, Em shol lecha mashal. The only way I can answer you is by giving you a mashal, is by saying it in metaphoric terms so that you will understand it. The mashal is the famous one. Lema hadavar domeh, it's just like a shu'ol afak shahaya mahaleich al gav hanahar, who was walking on the banks of the river, v'ra'adagim shayu mitkapsim mimakom lemakom. He saw the fish scurrying around, obviously because they felt in danger. So the fox tells them, why are you running? The fish say to the fox, because of the nets of fishermen that they want to cast upon us. Who? B'nei Adam, human beings, people. So we run, we try to survive. He said to them, why don't you go ahead? I have a plan for you, that you jump onto the water, onto land here. V'nadur ani v'atem, and together we will be able to survive. K'shem shedoru avosai im avosechem, just the way my forefathers lived with your forefathers. Is Omrulo, the fish said to the fox, Atohu she'omrim alecha, are you the one that they say that you are pikeach shebechayos, that you are the wisest of all animals? Lo pikeach ato, you're not a wise man, ela tipesh ato, you're a fool. Uma bimekom, because if we follow your reasoning, uma bimekom chiyuseinu, what if in our natural habitat, anu misyareim, we are afraid to be able not to exist? The makom misaseinu, alachas kama v'kama, where in a habitat on land where surely we're going to die because we can't exist out of water, all the more that we shouldn't go ahead and decide to do this, to jump onto land. Is af anachnu achshav she'anu yoshvim v'oskim b'Torah. So too, says Rabbi Akiva, we who are sitting now and occupying ourselves with the learning of Torah she'kasuv ba, wherein it is written, ki hu chayecha v'orech yamecha, this is our natural habitat that gives us life, that sustains. Orech yamecha, by the way, does not necessarily have to mean the length of our days, but it can mean also, orech can mean a pattern. It gives us a pattern in life. These are our values. Is kach, if that's the way it is, kachim onu holchim u'mevatlim mimeno, if we were to go ahead and abandon it, is alachas kama v'kama, all the more we would be in trouble. Amru, they said, lo hayu yamim mu'atim, that after this conversation, it was only a few days, ad shetfasuhu l'Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva was caught, and chavshuhu, they put him bevesa asurim in jail, v'tafsu l'Papus ben Yehuda, and Papus ben Yehuda was also implicated in court, v'chavshuhu etzlo, and he was imprisoned right next to Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo Papus, Papus said to him, mi hevi achol lekan, who brought you here? Amale Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva. But nonetheless, fortunate that you, Rabbi Akiva, shenipasta, that the crime that you committed that brought you here was al divrei Torah. It's because you went ahead and you propagated Torah. Oy lo lepapus, and I look at you, Rabbi Akiva, and then I look at myself, and I say, Oy vei papus, shenit pas al dvorim betelib. I didn't go out and teach Torah like you. I did not violate the law like you. And look what happened. I land up in the same place. Now that I look back on it, there's me and there's you. You at least taught Torah and you're here. I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing and I'm here also. After imprisonment, he was taken out to be killed. Zman kriyashma hoyo. It was the time of kriyashma. And as they tortured him, you saw kimes bisaro mevasre kosher bazel. They went ahead to comb his hair with hot combs of steel to burn his skin. V'hayam mekabel alav ol malchus shamayim. He was saying shema at the time, realizing that he only had a few moments to live. Amru lo talmidav, his talmidim said, Rabbeinu ad kan, it's enough, stop it. Amar lahem, what are you talking about? Kol yamai hayisi mitzta'er al pasuk zeh, I always had my doubts and I was perplexed by the pasuk of b'chol nafshecho, which I translated as afilu noteles nishmascho. I always had my doubts. Amalti, I said, Matai yavoli adiva kayemena. When will I be able to observe this mitzvah? And not only when, will I be able physically to withstand the torture of this thing until this moment? Achshav shebali adi lo kayemena. Now that I am face to face with reality and I'm able to observe b'chol nafshecha, I shouldn't do such a thing. Hayamarich be'echad, when he said the word echad, he continued to say it on and on, ad sheyatzasa nishmaso be'echad, until his soul departed as he was saying the word echad. Yatzasa bat kol v'yamra, there was a heavenly voice that said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, sheyatzasa nishmaso be'echad, that you went ahead to declare the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one and only one. Is Amru Malachei Hashores, whereupon the angels sarcastically cried out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zu Torah V'Zu Zechorah, this is what Torah is supposed to be, and this is the reward that he has, and they quoted a pasuk, etc., and so forth. And the Rabbeinu Shlalom refused to accept it, until Yatzasa Baskol, I'm skipping a line, Yatzasa Baskol V'Yamra, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva Shahatom Mizumon Lechayei Olam Haba. Here is the issue. The torture that you went through guarantees you Olam Haba. And so, from an act that otherwise could have been suicide, when his Talmidim said to him, Ad Kan, stop it already. Don't let him hold out. Let him burn you and let him finish the job off. He said, no way. Huma'arich be'echad. He went as far as he could. But Tosa says nothing here, because Rabbi Akiva withstood the torture. Rabbi Akiva went ahead and tried to show and set the model that the torture is warranted. Can you legislate for everyone the way you legislate for Rabbi Akiva? And the answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. And comes the chiddush of Tosa, that there were others, like the Gemara we learned with the 400 kids, who went ahead and committed suicide, like other Gemaras that exist, that will indicate that you don't legislate that way. The Chiddush is that if you are fearful of torture, in the sense that you will not be able to maintain your dignity, take that option of suicide, because if you do, you transform it from an Avera into a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And Tosus is Chiddush over there. And when I say a Chiddush, it is, you know, spelling it out clearly. It already existed before. But Tosus is Chiddush over there is the Chiddush that came out of the experience of the Crusades. The 200 years from 1096 through the 1100s and through the 1200s. One of the most incomparable periods of Jewish history. Before we continue on that theme in the Gemara, I've emphasized and repeated so many times the issue of the Crusades. You know, on our break, it's urgent that you see from a history point of view what is going on. If you take a look at page 33, I want to call your attention to this. We certainly won't study it. It's for your reading and for your edification. An excellent chapter on crusades and degradation that exists in this popular history book, The History of the Jews by Solomon Grazel. There are better history books. There are much more scholarly works, but the man gives you the quintessence of what the crusades were all about in a simple degradation and humiliation. So that was it. You got to read it. And moreover, on page 37, after this chapter by Grazel, one of my favorites that for years I've been yelling and screaming that every Jew should read, on the bottom of page 37 I reprint only one or two pages about the Crusades from this classical book, The Anguish of the Jews. Edward H. Flannery is a Catholic priest. He wrote a 23-century chronicle of anti-Semitism in which he calls the shots the way they are. And he got the church's approval for it because it was in the times of Pope John the 23rd. That's when he wrote it. If it weren't for that Pope John the 23rd and that Vatican Council and everything, who knows if this book would have ever been written. The man is an Ohev Yisrael, and more than that, the man is an honest individual. He gives you 23 centuries of where the world went wrong against the Jews. And just if you read his first sentence, to find a year more fateful in the history of Judaism than 1096, which is when the Crusade started, would necessitate going back 1,000 years to the fall of Yerushalayim or forward to the genocide of Hitler. And he doesn't mince words. He gives it to you straight. It is a pocketbook published by Macmillan. It costs maximum $5. I have copies upon copies that I distributed to people who refused to take a look at the book. And I went ahead and I said, here, on me. It is the kind of book that belongs in any house that has Sfarim. To be able to show to the world, if not actively, at least passively, that there still is one guy who's going to lay it on the line, and not just I'm a guy. A priest who is a scholar, and he received the imprimatur, the haskama of the Catholic Church to write this thing. Will it help? Nope, that I don't know. Maybe today's Pope, if I can be sarcastic for a moment, has not been able to read English so quickly as to be able to digest this anguish of the Jews. So we may have to translate it into Polish, no? Isn't that his native language? Or Latin, or something like that. Between Rosen and Breidowitz, we'll be able to sit them down and write it in his own mamelashen, in his own language, to be able to understand what's going on. Pope John the 23rd did understand. Ve'einenu, and he doesn't walk among the living, ki lakach aser elokim, because Rabbeinu Shlalom in his infinite wisdom decided to take him wherever. That Pope should have lived for 1,000 years to be able to wipe off the black spot of what Christianity did starting with 1096. The preface, interestingly enough, was written by someone whom you're not going to like. He lived and worked in Seton Hall University for the last part of his life. His name was Monsignor John Oestreicher. Oestreicher was a Polish Jew until the Holocaust, who was a yeshiva bacher, who after the Holocaust, or during the Holocaust, converted to Christianity and became a Monsignor who heads in Seton Hall the Judeo-Christian Heritage Foundation. The man learned in yeshivas as a child, and he wrote the Hakdama, he writes the preface. Okay? A man who learned like you and I, and in many cases more than most Jews. And he converted in Christianity because a Christian family saved him out of Christian and brotherly love during the Holocaust, much like the Cardinal of Paris, this Lustiger. You remember him? He was a Lustiger. He was a Polish kid. And his family was entirely wiped out in the Holocaust. And He survived because of the human love of Christianity, and ultimately comes as a Christian, looking at himself as Ani Yosef. And by the way, unlike what happened in the Middle Ages, and I alluded to it during Kinos, the fact that Yeshiva Bachurim and Frum Jews converted to Christianity was a given. In 1414, after this public debate in Tortosa, 100,000 Jews converted to Yiddish, to Christianity. And a massive amount were those who were Talmidei Chachamim also. Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel in 1492, Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, the finance minister of Portugal, had a chevrusa who was the chief rabbi of Lisbon. He converted. He was a chevrusa of Abarbanel. He converted. It happened consistently. The difference between those converts and this one, this Astreicher, is that they are very benign when it comes to Yiddishkeit. Very benign. They are not these virulent anti-Semites at all. And both Lustiger, and I'm not saying it lishvach, I spit on them. I really spit on them for what they have done. But they did not take the route that all these other Meshumodim did, that led to the destruction of the Talmud over and over again, that led to the frenzies of the mob over and over again, that led popes to go ahead in the name of peace and do under B'nai Yisrael generation after generation. I'm not saying anything lishvach, I'm not saying anything to bolster them, but the fact is that there is a difference. Suicide, mass suicide, an avera becomes a mitzvah. Okay, let's just take a look at page 39 for a moment. The second perek of a masechta called Masechet Smachot. It is a euphemism for Maseches Avelus. That's all it is. This is one of a series of what we call Masechtos Kitanos, minor masechtos, that were not written in the times of the Mishnah, but rather that they were accumulated Mishnayos and Brachos, Mishnaic texts and Brises were put together subject-wise, and it was called Maseches Smachos. There's another one called Maseches Derech Eretz. If you want to see them in the same Gemara, in the Vilna Gemara, that has Avodah Zarah, in the back of Avodah Zarah you have a whole series of them. You have Maseches Tfilin, you have Maseches Mezuzah, and so on and so forth. All the Masechtos Ketanos that were all post-Mishnah. Listen to the first halacha